Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we glorify you for preserving us in this life and for sending your Son to be our Savior. Dear Jesus, Son of God, we praise you for the salvation you won for us. O Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us to life through faith. Come to us, strengthen us, keep us, and work mightily in us through the word in our worship today. In your saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is God Whose Almighty Word. I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him, and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him which was created in you by His Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy.
We pray. O Lord, graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who struggle with sin and its consequences in this world may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today is a responsive reading of Psalm 32. It's printed in your bulletin beginning on page 4. This psalm is a reminder of the blessings of having forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Our second reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Jesus in this reading points to questioning John the Baptist, points to his miracles and shows them as proof that he is the Messiah, the chosen one that God had promised to send. That is one of the great reasons Jesus did miracles in his ministry, was proof that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he moved on from there to teach and preach in their towns. While John, again that's John the Baptist, was in prison, he heard about the things Christ was doing. He sent two of his disciples to ask him, "Are you the coming one, or should we wait for someone else?" Jesus answered them, "Go report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not take offense at me." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, O Son of God in Galilee. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our healer, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Mark chapter 1. We'll read verses 40 through 45. A leper came to Jesus. He knelt down and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he told him, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was healed. Then Jesus gave him a stern warning and immediately sent him away. He told him, "See that you do not say anything to anyone. Instead, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices for your cleansing that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But after the man left, he began to proclaim it widely. He spread the word so much that Jesus was no longer able to enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the deserted places. Yet people kept coming to him from all directions. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What does this text reveal about Jesus? We've been asking that question each week during the season of Epiphany as we've looked at the various gospel accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. And one of the challenges of doing a sermon series like this one is to narrow down each text to only two, maybe three important things that the text reveals about Jesus. Because the fact is, for each of the sermons we've done during this season of Epiphany, we certainly could have easily chosen five or six or more things that each text reveals about our Savior. And today's text is no exception. We could focus on the fact that this text reveals, once again, Jesus' power. We could focus on the fact that this text, once again, proves Jesus is the Son of God. When he does miracles, it's proof that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, God himself. After all, when you read this account, is there any doubt? Who other than God himself could heal with just a word? No doctor, no researcher has ever or will ever be able to cure any sickness or any disease, much less one as life-threatening as leprosy was in those days, by simply saying, "Be clean." And that person then would be instantly, immediately healed. So yes, those are two very important, extremely important things that our text reveals about Jesus. But one of the things I want to focus on today is what is revealed about Jesus in the first few verses of our text. And that is that it reveals that Jesus is compassionate. We've actually seen this before in previous texts we've studied during the season of Epiphany. Jesus is compassionate. I wanted to focus on that fact, on that truth, and let's stop and think about just how incredible that truth is, what it reveals about who Jesus is. Listen again to the words of our text. It says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him," which, according to the law of Moses, would have made Jesus ceremonially unclean to touch a leper. "I am willing," he told him, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was healed. Jesus was moved with compassion and stretched out his hand to this man. The Greek word there is a kind of a funny sounding word, but it's a really neat word. It's a word that means deep sympathy coming from your guts. The word for guts or bowels is actually in that word. The Greeks saw that as the seat of emotion. We in our language and culture would say from deep inside his heart. So it's a word that means to have deep sympathy for someone. Why would Jesus, the all-powerful, holy God, take the time to reach out his hand, reach down to lowly, undeserving sinners? He certainly doesn't have to, right? As true God, no one is forcing him to. He can't be forced to do anything. He is God. He gets to do what he wants. He gets to make the rules. So why does he reach down to us and to other people, to all sinners? It's because of his love. It's because of his great compassion. What an incredible word that is, not just in the Greek, the word that we translate in English, compassion. An incredible word. The construction of it in English literally means to suffer with. Isn't that a perfect description of what Jesus did for us? He came down to this world with its sickness, its disease, its sin and death, and he suffered with us. More than that, he suffered for us. Jesus has that same compassion for us that he had for this man who was suffering from leprosy. He is always willing to stretch out his hand to help us in the way that he knows is truly best. And we have sure promises from his word that he will do this. The promise that he will work all things out for our good, our true good, no matter what we are faced with in this life. We have the assurance in that same section of the scriptures that if God was willing to give up his own son, Jesus, to save us, he's certainly going to give up everything, or he's certainly going to give us everything that we truly need as well. That brings us to the second thing this text reveals about Jesus that we'll consider today. It reveals that Jesus will only do what is absolutely best for us spiritually. It reveals that Jesus will only do what is absolutely best for us spiritually. This text reveals that very clearly, and it reveals Jesus as the healer. But we need to explain fully what that means. Yes, Jesus healed many, but he was more than that. And he did not want to be known as just a healer, because he came to heal more than just leprosy, sickness, and disease. He came to heal souls from sin. That was one of the reasons that Jesus does something kind of strange in this text. If you read it in some translations, it brings out a little more of the emphasis. Jesus strictly warned the leper, "See that you say nothing to anyone." There's an emphasis there. He did not want this man spreading that he had been healed miraculously by Jesus. Jesus would have rather not had anyone else hear about this miracle rather than having the soul-saving gospel message he came to bring be hindered. The end of our text tells us that when the mobs of people were flocking to Jesus because of the news of this physical healing, it actually did interfere with his ministry of preaching the gospel. That was not a good thing. We read from the last verse of our text that after the man left, he began to proclaim it widely. He spread the word so much that Jesus was no longer able to enter a town, but stayed openly, but stayed outside in deserted places. Yet people kept coming to him from all directions. Yes, his miracles of healing sicknesses and diseases were important to his ministry because they were part of the proof that he was who he claimed to be, that he was the all-powerful Son of God, true God, as he said he was. The healing miracles, however, were never the focus. They were never the purpose for Jesus' ministry. In fact, if you read one chapter later in the Gospel of Mark, you find an account of a miracle that illustrates this perfectly. The account of Jesus healing a paralytic, a man who was paralyzed. Maybe you're familiar with that account. It's pretty famous. His friends had to lower this man through the roof of the house that Jesus was teaching in because it was so crowded with people. And in Mark chapter 2, we're told when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, the first thing he says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Jesus' main concern was his spiritual healing, that this man knew his sins were forgiven. He's lying there paralyzed, and his first words to him are, "Your sins are forgiven you." In his power and love, then, he proves his ability to forgive sins by healing this man physically. The Gospel of Mark chapter 2 goes on to say this, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of all of them, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Do we remember that this is the type of healer Jesus came to be? Or do we have to admit that we are misguided at times? We might have been in that crowd that was following Jesus because, "Hey, I've got a backache. Jesus can heal me. Let me go see him." Or, "I've got a sickness I'm dealing with. I'm going to go see Jesus. He'll take care of it." We know that Jesus is the Son of God, true God, and can do all things. So at times, don't we find ourselves getting a bit upset? Maybe impatient with him? "Jesus, why aren't you using your almighty power to get me out of this difficult situation? Why aren't you reaching down your healing hand to heal me from this sickness or illness? Or give me the things I am asking for, because I really do need them. I know better. I know I need these things. Well, we also forget then that Jesus is not only all-powerful, but he is all-knowing. He's also all-loving, which means he's only going to do what is absolutely best for us spiritually. That is his main concern. That shows his true love for us. There are, of course, many Christians, people who confess to be believers in Christ, who hold a mentality that if you simply believe enough in Jesus, then any sickness, any disease, or any blessing you want from him, if you ask for it, believing enough, you're going to receive it. After all, they reason that Jesus is all-powerful and he wants to bless you, so just go ahead and name it and claim it and you will receive it. That is not the example of faith that we see in our text. Faith and trust in Jesus is not just believing enough in his almighty power as true God, but it also is trusting and believing that Jesus will always answer our prayers in the way that he, not we, know is best. Think of Jesus' own example. Even he, the Son of God and Son of Man, prayed to his heavenly Father, "Thy will be done." What a perfect example that was. Faith and trust in Jesus means that while we are praying continually to him and persistently to him for things like physical healing or our earthly needs, we're also content and satisfied to live with whatever answer Jesus gives us to our prayers. Look at the example again of the man in our text in the very first verse. A leper came to Jesus. He knelt down and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Notice the humble faith of this man. This is a very good example for us to follow. He acknowledges Christ's power to heal him. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." But he didn't demand this gift from him. He says, "If you are willing." He cast himself entirely on Christ's mercy and his gracious will. As you come here to the worship service today, are you hurting? Are you struggling? Are you dealing with some sort of illness or disease? Are you suffering from some emotional pain or guilt or shame? Reach out to the one who stretched out his hands in compassion for you and me. Stretch them out, reach them out to us, not just to help us, but also to die for us. Stretch out his hands on the cross to take the nails and the spear. Shed his blood to give us forgiveness, to cure us from our eternally terminal illness, the leprosy of sin. Come to him like that leper in our text, confident, knowing Christ's power to heal and relieve. But also come to him humbly, trusting in his love, trusting his perfect will, that he will only do what is best for us. So yes, Jesus is our healer, but he is more than that. He is our Savior. Always remember that he came to take away our greatest sickness of sin, so that one day he will heal us completely and eternally from every sickness, every disease, every virus, every illness in heaven. There, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. We'll continue our worship service today with our next hymn, Hope of the World. Please rise. In our prayers today, we'll pray for the people of Turkey and Syria who have undergone a very devastating earthquake in the past week. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Yes.
Prayer for safety of Mitch who's deploying to the Baltic Sea. 15th.
Okay, thank you. Any other prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our compassionate healer, our good shepherd, we pray that you would be with and protect Mitch as he is deployed to the Baltic Sea for the next 4 months. Please be with him and keep him strong and faithful to you. Be with him and protect him, not only physically, but spiritually. Dear Savior, be with his family, his young daughter, and his wife. Be with all those who know and love him as they are praying for him to have a successful tour and to come back safely. We thank you for him and for all those who are in our armed services to protect our country and serve us. We pray that you would also reach down your compassionate and healing hand to those who have suffered such tremendous loss in Turkey and Syria in the aftermath of the devastating earthquake in those countries. We ask you, Lord, to help us and them see your compassion in the efforts of rescue workers and friends and neighbors coming together to help and restore the broken parts of that country. We ask you especially to help everyone see your compassion, most importantly, in your cross. With the gospel of your unfailing love, comfort those who have lost loved ones in this disaster, those who've been injured or otherwise sitting in the rubble of homes and businesses destroyed, and help them to say with Job, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let this be a reminder to us when we see earthquakes and disasters that you have told us this world will not last forever, that you are coming again to take us from this world of sorrow, disaster, and loss to eternal life and peace with you. And so we pray that you would use this tragedy to turn the hearts of all people toward you in repentance and faith. Use it to draw them and all of us to a deeper dependence and trust in you, looking in faith to you alone as Savior and God. Give them the assurance of your presence. Protect them in the coming days that no further harm, loss, or damage would come upon them, and spare the lives of many who are still waiting to be rescued. Abide with them and us, dear Savior. Dwell with them and us always and never leave us. Abide with us through your word and help us through that word to reflect your love toward others by our words and actions. Dear God, we bring these prayers to you in the name of our compassionate Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we also pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We'll close our service with our next hymn, "Oh, How Great Is Your Compassion." I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and we pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements for today and for this week. This afternoon I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service at 1 o'clock there. For this week, we are having our SSLS Volunteer Appreciation Luncheon on Tuesday at 11:30. You're all invited to attend. We invite anyone who has supported the school, whether it's through volunteer efforts or with your prayers or your offerings and donations. We appreciate all of you and the support that our church gives to our school. Again, that will be Tuesday at 11:30. That's Valentine's Day. Wednesday, our Board of Education will meet via Zoom at 6 p.m. Friday, winter break begins at SSLS, and school will resume on the 27th, Monday the 27th. Ms. Hammond will be leaving for the Pacific Coast Teachers Conference next weekend, Friday through Sunday. We'll be having another work day for painting and prep work in the various rooms that are going to be refloored. That will take place beginning next Saturday at 8 a.m. I believe there's also going to be some work done this afternoon. If you're able to spare some time this afternoon, I'm sure Mike has some jobs that he could put you to use at. So please come and join us for that if you can today as well. Oh, speaking of which, after the service today, we'd like to have everyone meet in the entryway and then in the fellowship hall. We ask your input one more time on paint colors. So please do stick around after the service and give your input to us one more time so we can get those walls painted, Lord willing, before the flooring comes in. Next Sunday, we'll have our worship service at the usual time of 10 a.m. There is no Bible class since I'll be doing the three services next Sunday here, Hayward, and then in Southern California. We'll be meeting at the Hamblin House again in Huntington Beach. That will be 6:30 next Sunday. It says in your mailboxes, but they're still just on the podium in the entryway. There are copies of Daily Rest Devotional for this quarter. Please pick up a copy for yourself and your family if you've not taken yours yet. They're on that podium near the entryway of church. And then again, there's an invitation in your mailboxes for the Volunteer Appreciation Luncheon. Let's see. Thank you. A deep and appreciative thank you to all who've helped over the last couple of weeks with the project. As you can see, there's a lot going on, and we've done a lot of work and moved a lot of things around, so please do be careful as you travel through the church facility, and continued thanks for all the help and the work that will be put into the project in the coming weeks. We hope to have it all wrapped up before the beginning of March and have the flooring, it plans to be installed on the 20th of February. Any other announcements today? Yes.
I wanted to add to that, it's from 11:30 to 12:30, so if you can't make it right away, if you want to come a little bit later, go for it.
Great reminder, thank you. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.